If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hello and welcome back to the Playbase. I am so excited for you guys to listen to this episode. I don't even know what we're going to talk about yet because I never really do. But Lauren Stewart, I met you at an event very unexpectedly. You were selling delicious cookies. My son ended up getting one. And I didn't realize the name of your booth. And once I realized, and you and I started talking, I felt so deeply inside of me that I needed to share what you're doing, who you are, and what your mission is with every listener out there. So, Lauren Stewart, welcome to the Playbase.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. This is so cool. I love this.
It's very exciting for me because I started in my field. I learned a little bit about autism in my field and then fell into this world of falling in love with these kids and understanding them in a different way and in learning from them. And you are a proud autism mom.
Amen.
You are not just a proud autism mom. You run two businesses around this idea. And I don't know if one of them is a business. One of them is for sure a business. You run the Sweet Spectrum, which if you haven't had a cookie from the Sweet Spectrum, you need to place your order. By the way, you need to place your order before Monday night, because if you message her on a Tuesday, you don't get your order, which is what I did. I messaged on a Tuesday and I was like, damn it. But you happen to do a pop-up somewhere very close to me. So I still got my fix. I still got all my kids and my husband to have the most delicious cookies from the Sweet Spectrum.
So sweet. Thank you.
And you run a group.
It's called Proud Autism Moms Club. And so I essentially, and I've been really slacking in this area. Just life has been lifing lately and we've been struggling a lot with sleep at home. So I run Proud Autism Moms Club and I just wanted a space when you are a parent with a child. I think being an adult in general is hard to find friends. When you have kids, it's even another layer that's even harder to find, just like your community. Yeah. And then when you layer in a child with a disability, your village goes from like something to really close to nothing. And now you are left to connect with people who maybe don't even live in the same state as you, that you can connect with, that can understand your life from a perspective of the, like, they live the same life as you. You know what I mean? They walk the same path. And we are not, like, no parent is given a map to walk the parenthood path. It's even like more so confusing when your child is diagnosed with any disability, truly. And I only know as much as I know about autism because that's what pertains directly to my life.
Yeah.
But any disability, now you're navigating what supports do they need? How often do they need those supports? And you're trying to find the best centers for them to find these supports. Not all centers are created equal. It's just a whole thing. And then you layer in, now you're trying to also like make friends because it can feel very isolating, you know? And so starting Proud Autism Moms Club, what originally started as just trying to make ends meet, all of my businesses started more out of a place of honestly desperation where I knew my corporate job was not going to accommodate my schedule much longer. And I was running out of time and I needed to come up with something on the fly that I needed another option. And I didn't have a plan B. I only had a plan A and it was the cookies. And so I just was like, that day I had like a not super pleasant meeting at work and where it just became clear that like the clock is ticking and I need to figure something out. And that night I put in all the information for the LLC for the Sweet Spectrum. And I was like, we're going to figure this out. I have no idea what I'm doing. We're just going to go for it. And a few months into that, I was like, okay, the income from this is not enough. I need more. And I'm just going to do apparel. Like, and that's what Proud Autism Moms Club started as. Mm-hmm. And quickly I learned and realized like my heart is not in this apparel the way that it is in the cookies. It feels like work and I don't want it to feel that way, but I love the community here so much. And it's like, what can I do to keep us all together and keep us feeling like we are not alone? Because we're not alone. There are so many of us but like, how do we find each other? And so it turned into a hub for community and connection where now I'm hosting Zoom calls every month and I'm trying to get them to be biweekly. I just put a post up yesterday to try to find some co-hosts to just help me because schedules don't always align. And I'm, you know, sometimes it's just like not a good day. My kids are just on one, you know what I mean? And life is just too much and I can't join this one, but I still want it to be available for all the moms. So our next call, I don't know when this is going to be shared, but it's on July 10th at 8 o'clock Eastern time is our next Zoom call, excuse me. And so anybody can come. Like, we just open unlimited amount of people, unlimited amount of time. Like, we're just going to do breakout groups of like maybe 4 to 5 people. Every group will have their own icebreaker questions and just be able to just like just vibe with another mom that just gets you or dad. Anybody can join. I don't care. Just like finding your village. When you feel so incredibly isolated, but all you want to do is support your child. And it's, we still want it. Like, even though my child is disabled, I don't view her as my disabled child. I view her as my sweet little baby angel girl that loves princesses. She loves dressing up. She loves Barbies. She's still my kid. And so I still want to talk about her the same way that everybody wants to talk about their kids. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's sometimes people feel like sorry for me. And it's like, she's freaking amazing. Don't feel sorry for me. I do not view my parenthood journey as a victim of suffering with autism. Like, no, absolutely not. Does our life have challenges? Absolutely. Does somebody else's life have challenges and they don't have a disabled child? Absolutely. It's just a different type of life and it is what it is. And you just like adjust and adapt and you have to step up and be the parent that your child needs you to be, regardless of whether your child has a disability or not. And you make the most of it and you bring out the most joy in like all of those situations and having the connections that have come from my businesses have been by far my most favorite part of everything because it is incredible. And like getting to meet people, even just like meeting somebody like you and just this like happen chance thing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just was at this event and one of my friends was coming to support me with her son and he was having a hard time and your son just stepped in and was like, I'm just going to be helpful. And it was like, nobody asked him to do that. Nobody asked him to like express kindness and be like, just be like kind of like a civil servant, I guess, you know what I mean? And just kind of like, just help him out. He was having a hard time. And like, of course I'm going to offer him cookies. I probably shouldn't do that. My husband is my CFO. He's unpaid and unpaid labor always, but he's the best. And he truly is like amazing. And I give out like just lots of free cookies all the time. You know what I mean? But for him, he's probably like, that's money under the table. And it's like, well, it's fine because it's for a good cause. You know, I like anything is a good cause for me. Anything or like something that needs to come out of the lineup. I'm like, you know what? That cookie is like not looking like it needs to be in there. Let me take that out and just like test the flavor to make sure it's still good.
Just gonna test this, but
man, I do that too much. I gotta pump the brakes.
I have to say that what you just unloaded in a really eloquent way, I feel like many people listening are going to resonate and maybe even be surprised by other people. I'm curious first, how many people are in this Proud Autism Moms group?
So it varies. We've only done one call, which I'm not super proud of. We're doing the second call and I want to have more co-hosts to be able to help me so we can just, no matter what I have going on, and if I can't make it, it can still happen. The way I structured it the first time was like, I wanted people to just, I didn't have like I had the free version of Zoom. So I just was like, maybe just to keep costs low. I still to this day feel the same, even though I now pay for the Zoom membership. I don't want to charge people to find community. That's not cool. That's not my vibe. Like, people should be able to just show up somewhere and be able to just make connections and it shouldn't have to like cost them even a dollar, you know, right. Like, I don't want it to be that. I just want it to be a fun place. And the way that I had it structured was because I was only able to have 99 people on the call. I put out like a registration thing and you can like pick, get your spot. And so all that entire registration, all 99 spots in 2 hours were like taken. And then the day of, we had people that were like, hey, we really want to join. And it was like, I'm so sorry, all the spots are taken. And we only had 30 people show up, which was still wonderful. I honestly didn't think anybody was going to show up. 30 women showed up and it was awesome. And we went into different breakout groups and I just was kind of like bebopping between groups and it was just so fun. And I learned a lot after that first experience. It was like, okay, we need icebreaker questions because you're just putting a bunch of strangers on like a Zoom call and it's like, hey, you know what I mean? It's kind of like awkward, you know? Yeah. So it's like, you know what? Okay, mental note, I'm going to do icebreaker questions for each group. We'll have their own questions and we'll just do it that way moving forward. So I don't know how many people are going to come to the one on Friday, but even if it's 3, I'm still going to be super pumped, you know?
Of course.
And now that it's just like as many people as they want, like as anybody
so
can come.
No,
you know what I mean?
Number.
There's no limit on who can come. And we'll probably do it for like an hour, I would say. And then I think like 4 to 5 people within a group is like, I still want there to be like the feeling of like connection and not like 10 people in a group where like maybe 5 people don't even get to say a word the whole time. Yeah. And then the other 5 are taking over the whole conversation. You know, at least it's like a little more intimate.
Yeah.
And so I have no idea how many people are going to come, but I hope it's a good turnout just because I know what it feels like firsthand to be able to connect with people who just get it. I don't have to explain anything beyond she elopes. We had speech. Have to drive super far to get her to her therapy center. Like I don't have to explain those things to somebody who literally does the same thing as me. You know what I mean? And that feeling unmatched. And I want every single disability mom to feel what that feels like because it's a game changer. Like to feel like you are not alone and not isolated. And there are so many other women that are able to connect and understand firsthand what your life looks like. That is so powerful, so special. And I want that feeling for everybody. Like that changed my life, you know?
I think something really important to highlight is that in 2 hours, you had 99 people signed up.
Yeah.
That means that if you gave it 2 days, if you gave it a week, and if you didn't have a cap, how many people would feel connected to this group?
Yeah.
And want and be seeking connection? Listen, 100%. I know every human on this planet
needs connection.
Wants to feel heard. Absolutely. Seen, absolutely. Validated, and unconditionally loved for
absolutely.
Who they are.
100%.
That's like, that's our birthright, right? 100%. To be able to have that. And it's what we hope our children will all experience, right? That's our end game is for our children to be independent and to be able to feel all of those things and be proud of who they are and walk this planet independently. Like that's our end game. And in order to be able to give to our children, we need to give to ourselves and what you have created.
You cannot pour from an empty cup.
Correct. But what you have created provides people with a safe place to come and just be.
Yeah. And I hope that's like, if I've learned anything from social media, it's that not everybody portrays themselves. They are not showing who they truly are from what you can just see on face value on social media. And that's a really hard thing to kind of like absorb and like realize. But everybody that meets me knows that exactly what they see online is exactly what they get in person. And it's sometimes more because it's only like a minute video. You know what I mean? And I want everybody to feel just like safe and just like unload. Like you can unload with me because I'm not going to judge you. I've probably already experienced that thing. My house, it's impossible to keep up with laundry, with dishes, with cleaning all the time. Like I get it, you know, like it truly is like a judgment-free zone. Like I'm doing my best just like everybody else. You know what I mean? And so to be able to just connect with people that feel like safe enough to just like divulge all these things, like it makes me so emotional because it's like, I did not know a single other disability mom, let alone an autism mom. I didn't know a single other disability mom before my daughter's diagnosis. Once she got diagnosed, still didn't know anybody. And we were just navigating all of this. You know, it's like your whole world gets turned upside down. You know what I mean? And all I cared about was like, is she going to be happy? Am I going to be able to support her? And is this life going to feel like, is she going to feel like she belongs? Are people going to express kindness to her? Like all these things are just like, it's so scary initially because you don't know anything. I didn't know anything about autism. You know what I mean? And she's my oldest. I didn't notice any differences. You know what I mean? Like to me, it wasn't obvious. And it was from my parents actually were just kind of like, hey, she's not really talking at all. And maybe at this age, she should be saying like a few more things and she's getting increasingly frustrated because she can't communicate wants and needs. Maybe speech therapy might be something. And I'm like, speech therapy is awesome. You know, and I had a fight for that referral, first of all. And then finally we got it. We did 6 months of speech. It was awesome. I firmly believe that therapies should be more for parents than they are for the kids because you're only there for 30 minutes. You got to do a whole lot of work at home when you get back home. You know what I mean? Everything has to change at home.
I love that you said that because actually in a podcast I did with my husband, he's heard me speak a lot about how therapy that we do one-on-one with kids, it like hits a wall if you're not working.
If you're not doing it at home, 100%.
If you're not working with the parents, caregivers, teachers, everybody.
And it really, and parents need to feel supported because we're not given a handbook. When you get a diagnosis for your child, you actually are given literally nothing. You're given like a thumbs up and a good luck. And like, you're just on your own to figure everything else out. And like where the therapy centers are, like where, and like, you don't know these things because it's not like you're driving around like keeping an eye out for them before you get a diagnosis. And then you do get a diagnosis. That diagnosis in itself is both validating and also it turns your whole world upside down. You know what I mean? It's incredibly emotional. Now you're kind of like, and all of the emotions that come with a diagnosis of any kind are valid. Like, yeah. So whether it takes someone a few months to work through it, it's all valid, but it's really important to note that at the forefront, you really should do your best to show up for your child in the way that they need. And maybe an autism diagnosis is like not what you wanted, not what you expected, not, you know, you're afraid. Like all those things are super valid. But at the end of the day, diagnosed or not, your child still has a disability and they need support. You not getting them the support, thinking that that will just disappear, is not going to help them. And as a parent, you need to become basically obsessed with whatever disability your child has to learn all the things that you can learn to be able to support them at home. And if you're not sitting in on your child's therapy sessions, like you're missing out on such valuable opportunities because you don't, like, I don't know what I'm doing. And now I feel so much more confident in my ability to change. We have changed the entire way that we communicate at home. My daughter's a Gestalt language processor. And so not only did I have to learn about Gestalt language processing, didn't know that was a thing. I just came across a video yep. of it on Instagram and I was like, oh my God, that's how she speaks to me. She's talking to me. You know what I mean? And it yep. was mostly mumbles and just sounds, but it had like a lot of like intonation and a lot of like rhythm. And it was like, she's singing. So I know that melody. She's singing something, but none of the words, she wasn't able to articulate a lot of letter sounds. So we right. didn't really know like what she was saying. We just were like, she just can't talk and it is what it is. And it's like, no, she's communicating.
Trying. She's trying to communicate.
Communication yep. is not just, there is not one form of communication. There correct. Are numerous different forms yeah. of communication and no words are required for communication. You correct. Can, like no words are required for communication. You can be entirely non-speaking. You can have a device. You can hand lead. You can like behavior is communication. You know what I mean? So all of these forms of communication, we don't know. And now we have to put like our investigator hats on mm-hmm. and be a little like sleuths and just figure all these things out. You know what I mean? And so yep. we're constantly in detective mode, you know? And at my daughter's therapy center the other day, they sent me a video of her. She was like singing this like whole, she was scripting a whole like Miss Rachel like episode. And I know all of them. So like I know the entire script. And so I finished the entire script and they were like, it's so incredible. You always know all of these scripts. And it's like, that's my baby. I don't play about that. You know what I mean? Like yeah. I became, well, the other area too is when she got her autism diagnosis, I learned a lot about autism and also about ADHD. And things just like were like light bulbs in my head where I was like, oh my God, my whole life makes so much sense right now. I was late diagnosed. I was diagnosed at 30 with ADHD. That diagnosis and being able to view myself through that different lens changed my whole world. I used to speak to myself so negatively, so unkindly. And I just was like mean to myself, like do better, try harder. You're not doing your best, like all these things. And it's like, everything seemed so easy for everybody else. And everything was so much harder for me. Like I didn't grasp concepts at school the way that like we would be paired in groups of four. And it's like, what'd you get for number three? And like all these people would have like a similar answer. And I'm like, me too. No idea how I got my answer, but same, you know? And like, it was yeah. totally different. I like school was hard. Like I didn't know how to study. I did not learn the same way that everybody else learned. And so that was like, just realizing that like, you know what? I just was never taught in a way that made sense for my brain because now I've started a whole business. I've applied for licenses for different insurances, for like growing my business, understanding branding, marketing, social media, like all of these things. It's like, I'm not dumb. I just was never shown anything that one was interesting to me and two, like made sense to my brain. And that turned like understanding and realizing the way that I became so obsessed with things that like were interesting to me, autism became like a special interest of mine. Yeah. And so being able to like, I know that not everybody has that like endless amounts of energy and like brain space to put towards something that is interesting to them. I did. And I do still. And anything that is interesting to me, I don't want to stop talking about it. And so like autism became that thing for me where it was like, I am going to be a speech therapist, an occupational therapist, a behavioral tech. I'm going to be all of the things to support my girl at home because once she leaves her therapy center, that's it. If I'm not doing everything at home, nothing changes. You know what correct. I mean? And no support, like she can't be equally supported in both places if I'm not doing what we like, and my husband as well, like he's incredible. And we just advocate super, super hard for all of our kids, disability or not, you know? And like being the support that your kids need instead of viewing it as more of a like, this is really hard. I didn't want this for my kid. I thought that my kid was going to be doing X, Y, Z. I thought at this age it was going to be like, it doesn't matter what you thought, unfortunately. Like when you choose to have kids, you can't choose what gender you're having. You can't choose the color of your kid's hair, the color of their eyes. And if you can't choose if they are gay, if they are disabled, you can't choose any of those things. And when you choose to have a child, whether you are consciously choosing that or you are kind of just doing your own thing, having some fun, you, in the back of your mind, you know what the possibilities might be. Mm-hmm. You chose to have a child and now you need to step up and be the parent that that child needs you to be, you know?
And if you believe like I do, I have a deep spiritual belief around life in general, but that our children choose us.
100%.
And that we are the parent that their soul chose for a reason.
Yep.
And equally, it's a blessing for us, a lesson for us, a learning and growth opportunity for us, 100%. Whatever we experience with and through our children.
100%.
And there's, I think many people may not like to hear that approach, or maybe not early on in their experience or early on in their path and their journey.
Valid.
Like absolutely. It is valid. Absolutely.
Through all those emotions, it's valid.
100%. And I believe that every single thing we experience in life happens for us in some way and is an opportunity for us in some way. And so for me to listen to you, the way that it bursts my heart open, and I want to walk through a few different paths that you took us on. And the first one being when your daughter received her diagnosis, what that was like for you. And there are probably not enough words in the English vocabulary to express every different emotion, every different thought and feeling and energy that you felt. But can you walk us through, as a way of holding space for another mom or dad or sibling or aunt, uncle, who grandparent who is going through this, whether it be an autism diagnosis or any other diagnosis, because my follow-up question is going to be around what you learned through your own diagnosis, which I know many adults who either have formally received that diagnosis or recognize themselves and have this like aha moment for themselves.
Yeah, 100%.
So let's go back to your experience as a mom.
Yeah. So we started speech therapy, and every six months you do like a reevaluation in your therapies. And at the 6 month mark, I will never forget this. I was like 30 something weeks pregnant with my youngest, and I'm sitting in therapy, probably super like boob sweat, sweaty, sitting in this room. And she's like reviewing all of the, you know, she's like, I also included a referral to a neurologist in here for you. And I'm like, for what? And she's like, oftentimes kids that have these language disorders are sometimes diagnosed with autism, but like, we're not experts. You like should go see the expert. Right. And I will never forget that. Just like, it like knocked the wind out of me, because it wasn't something that I had ever thought of. Like, I didn't know anything about autism. I didn't know anybody else that was autistic. I didn't know, like, it was just not a thing that I knew about. And so it was very like surprising to me, because again, I didn't know about it. Now, when I look back at like photos and videos, like as a literal infant, I'm like, oh my God, yes, absolutely. I see it, you know? But I didn't know what that was. I thought, she's my oldest. I didn't have anything else to compare it to.
Of course.
I'm the oldest one of my siblings. I'm the only one that has kids. None of my friends have kids. Like, I'm the only one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I didn't know any better. She's just the way she is. And she is, I love her. She's amazing, you know? Yeah. And so I was able to start processing that then. And my husband, it took him definitely a little bit longer. Like, until the day that she got diagnosed, it was just kind of like, well, maybe something else will be different and maybe this will change. And maybe by then she'll just be doing more and then it'll just kind of all be behind us, you know? And the reality is that it doesn't work that way, you know? And a diagnosis, and I wish that I was told these things, because when you walk through this path, you think that you're just going to like, your kid's going to be this like totally different kid. You're going to get this diagnosis and it's going to be like a stranger. The reality is, nothing about your kid changes. Everything about your kid stays exactly the same. Everything about you as the parent will change. Your entire outlook on the world changes. Your entire way that you view life changes. The way that you view your children changes. The way that you view other people's children's changes. And like, it changes for the better. and your view on the world is so different. Like, you know, you could maybe before you have a child with a disability, it's easy for you, or children in general, because you're like a perfect parent before you have kids, and you like go to the store and you see a kid having like an absolute meltdown over like a shoe, you know, like something like, or you don't even know what, maybe they're just having like an epic meltdown and you're like, that mom should totally discipline her kid. And like, I would do like X, Y, Z. When you have a child with a disability and you see that same scenario now through a different lens, it's like, man, I should go over there and see if she needs anything. Or like, they're probably having a hard time. Or like, maybe I can help her with maybe. And like, also, you don't want to like approach somebody as a stranger. Like, hey, can I help you with your kids? Because we live in the crazy time. But like, your outlook on everything just changes. And it's like, now you're able to approach situations with so much more empathy, so much more patience, so much more kindness. And the world needs a lot more of that. And if you look at like, so talking about my experience after being late diagnosed, like my whole experience around that was just like, the, if you look at the age demographic of people that are getting diagnosed with either autism or ADHD, because everybody likes to talk about how like autism numbers are just like, everybody's getting diagnosed with autism. Everybody's autistic nowadays. And it's like, if you look at the actual age group of people that is skyrocketing with autism diagnoses, it's not kids, it's their parents, where they're realizing, holy shit, my kid is me. That's me. But
nobody ever knew that.
But it didn't, I didn't recognize it, because it's all the same things that I do.
Yep.
So the age, it's like 24 to 36 or something is the age demographic of people that are seeing the highest spike in autism and ADHD diagnoses, because hello, they're kids. You know what I mean? Their kids are going through all the same things. And now a diagnosis is such a privilege, because now you get to see, it's, it gives you kind of a roadmap where it's like, you know what? My child is autistic. What do I do? There's behavioral therapy, there's speech therapy, there's occupational therapy. There are other, if your child has, maybe they have a sleep disorder, maybe they have a GI issue, maybe they have, there are areas where they require support. You have kind of a roadmap where now it's like, all right, I had no idea where I was going. Now I know in this general direction is where I should go. You understand your child's brain now. Mm-hmm. Now your child can still be proud of themselves, because kids that are different and people that are different, they know they're different. And having, they feel like, they feel that they're different from their peers, and they don't know why. And imagine that now you can say, this is why. And from early on in childhood, you can say, hey, your brain is different, and that's okay. Everybody's brain is different. Everybody's brain works in a different way, a unique way. And that's what makes our world wonderful. And that's what makes all of your friends wonderful, because everybody has a different view and just something different that they can bring to the table that makes everything wonderful, you know?
And I want to just jump in and say that I have never been diagnosed with any neurodiversity. I always felt like I was very different growing up. And I had my senior team, my analysts and student analysts, all together on a podcast. And I shared with them how I always felt like I was weird and there was something different about me. And it was the fact that I felt other people so deeply.
Yeah.
And it was the fact that I felt things so deeply, and I thought I had a very active imagination, and I thought all these things that I thought were just things I wouldn't share with other people. And it was somebody saying to me, you're an empath.
Yep.
And I was like, what's that?
And it's,
and then I research
label
it, and I'm like, oh my God, other people feel this way?
Yeah, that's me.
And it's, people are afraid of a label.
Yeah.
And I understand, because the label has been associated
with a lot of negativity,
a horrible trajectory.
Horrible.
Your child will never be able 100%. To do or be or
100%.
Any, right? And I understand that.
However.
And there is power in understanding and self-acceptance and self-love. 100%. And when you don't feel like, you know, like my daughter has in times in her life described herself as the weird one. And I said to her, I understand.
Yeah.
And actually, it's a gift.
It is.
And these are beautiful, unique traits that you have that other people don't. They have their own way
they have
of
their
being.
Own, 100%.
But when you understand that with this diagnosis or that diagnosis or this label or that label come their challenges.
Yeah.
But also come unique gifts and abilities
100%.
That are unique to this person or to these people who I mean, every single human is different, so it won't be the same for everybody, but you will find similarities and community.
Yep.
And a way of connecting to others and understanding yourself.
Yeah.
So, and I know that there are parents who will never disclose their child's diagnosis to them, unless maybe they're an adult. At some point, they'll probably, you know, identify it. And there are other people who give this diagnosis to their children at an age where they can cognitively process that information.
Yeah.
And like you're describing yourself as a 30-year-old woman who received an ADHD diagnosis and went, oh.
Yes. Because people forget that, you know, you get a diagnosis like, you know, it's my daughter has an autism diagnosis. If I chose to, you know, I don't want her to have that negative label, I'm just not going to do anything about it. She will still be labeled with worse things from peers, from teachers.
Who don't understand her.
Who don't understand her brain. She doesn't understand her brain.
Right.
We don't understand fully how to support her at home. So now what could have been something that's like, we're embracing autism because it's not going to change. It's not going away. You know, it's there to stay. Figure out how to support your child. And as they grow, there are new challenges and new areas of support that you have to, you're always learning. You have to learn new things all the time. Support them. Give them the support that they need because it's not going to change. Your child doesn't change. It's the same child that you still know and love, but now you're giving them tools in their toolbox to be exactly who they're supposed to be in a happy, supportive, loving, kind, safe home, as opposed to feeling like they're out of place wherever they go. Because your peers, and even I experienced this myself, I have been too much in every freaking aspect of my life. I talk too much. I'm too loud. I move too much. I don't pay attention enough. I don't do enough. Like, I have been told, like, in my adulthood by, like, I had a boss who was like, you're too much. You are really stressing me out right now. And I'm just like, I think about that all the time. And I don't think I think maybe in that moment she was having a hard time and just like said it and didn't think anything of it. But I think about it all the time. And I'm so like conscious now of like when I'm talking to somebody and I feel like as an empath where I'm just picking like in active conversation, I'm picking up that like, oh, I should pull back from that. I don't want to talk about that anymore. Like I shouldn't say anything about that anymore. Or like we should change the subject or what, you know what I mean? Whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just like constantly being like in a space where I'm like processing what I'm experiencing, like in just a regular conversation, and then also picking up like what you're experiencing in this back and forth conversation, it's exhausting. You know what I mean? It's a lot, but also it is such a gift. And also it allows me to really like, I don't even need to really have a conversation with somebody to just like see how they truly are. You know what I mean? Like I can just watch them just like how they behave or like their mannerisms or like how they communicate with others and how they treat other people. And it's like, you're the vibe or like, oof, you're not a good person or like you're not somebody that I would ever want to be friends with or something like that. You know what I mean? And in the social media world, it's a lot harder to do that because you don't get all of that exposure. You know what I mean? And so like weeding out people that you think are like kind and your friends and they're like supportive and then you learn more and you're like, oh no, that was horribly wrong. I got that so wrong. And that is both like really sad and also like I'm so grateful for my ability to be able to just kind of like filter people. You know what I mean? Where it's like, I'm not going to waste my time on somebody who is like, you're not going to bring like joy and you're not going to like match the like love and effort that I put into things. Like we're just not doing it. And so that's why my circle of friends is so tiny and we've been friends for literal years. And it's like, I know my people. And when I like find a new person, it's like, yep, get in here. You know what I mean? And it's just like, it's the best, but it's, if you don't have that, like, I don't know what it's like to not have that. I don't know what it's like to not feel so deeply. I cry freaking all the time because I'm just like, whether I'm super happy, I'm super angry, I'm just like overwhelmed, whatever. I just cry all the time. My husband's like, are you okay? You know, like what's going on this time? You know what I mean?
There's a joke in my family that I'm crying again and I have to explain they're happy tears or I'm just feeling a big emotion or I'm feeling lots of emotions 100%. Right now. And so when I say like I cried, I'm like, not that it takes a lot, but like I tell my husband, I'm crying. I know it doesn't take a lot, but
I know.
And it's, but you know, it's really served me in my life. Like it served you, but growing up, it didn't feel like it served me. And when, you know, I speak to my kids who feel very deeply.
Yep.
I talk to them about, you know, my eldest has expressed it as a curse. And I've explained to her that it feels that way until you learn to understand it, until you learn to not let,
to like use it as the gift that it is and not as this, like, I'm so emotional all the time. Cause it's like, you are emotional, but it's not the same thing that society is saying that it is. You know what I mean? when it's like, oh, she's so emotional. And it's like, oh my gosh, you just can't like get a grip on her emotions. It's not that at all. It's just, you feel so deeply that it just pours out of you in the form of water from your eyeballs. You know what I mean? Like it just,
however,
100%, you know?
Yes.
And everybody like, and I joke like with my husband all the time, because it's like, you know, the joke is like women are so emotional. And it's like men forget that rage and anger are also emotions. You know what I mean? We are all emotional beings.
Correct.
We are all emotional beings, and we need to like, it is, you should experience and like feel the emotions that you're feeling, but learning tools to regulate those emotions. I really didn't learn like a ton about that until my daughter was diagnosed, where it was like regulating her brain is like the top priority, because if she's not regulated, she can't learn. She can't have fun. She can't just be with us. She can't like, there's so much happening inside of her body that like, I don't know what that feels like for her. I can't understand from like firsthand experience. I don't know what those things feel like. But I can only imagine with the way that she reacts when things are too much, that it must be like way, way too much for her. And so like regulation is priority, and regulating emotions is super important, not just for a child on the spectrum. You know what I mean? For every human being. We are all feeling something all the time, and like learning how to like label the emotion, work through the emotion, feel it, because it's important to feel it. You don't want to like push it aside, because it's going to come out eventually and in a more explosive way than you anticipated and wanted it to.
That's a rage.
Regardless of the emotion, you know? And it's just like learning how to regulate your emotions is so important. And there are numerous adults that don't know how to regulate their own emotions. You know what I mean?
Or when I train on it, I always say, because I train teachers, I talk to parents, and I always say, how many adults that you know how to self-regulate? And the whole room kind of laughs, because I don't think they know very many people at all. Maybe they can count them on one hand.
They've thought about it.
Correct. And then I say, and then we expect our kids, who are developmentally not actually prepared to do that. Right. Their brains are not.
Literally not designed for that yet.
Correct. They're not ready for that. But we expect them to self-regulate so that we can get our own shit together.
Right.
You need to get your shit together so that I can keep my shit together. Because if you lose your shit, I lose my shit. Yeah. And then we're all losing our shit.
Yeah.
There's this whole phenomenon around being like, but wait, it's actually your job.
Yes.
To first
you
figure out your...
The adult is the regulator. And you have to be calm to keep everybody else calm. You know? And it's like, but it's also a lot of learning. And that's one other thing that I've learned after my diagnosis with ADHD. Like, I get very overwhelmed and overstimulated easily.
Yeah.
Like too many noises at the same time, I'm gonna snap, and I can't. But I need to. I feel like I need to, but I can't, because it's not fair to my kids. It's not fair to them that they're being kids and it's too much for me in that moment. You know what I mean? So it's like, I just have to step away. Mommy's gonna go to the bathroom. I need 5 minutes. Please don't call my name. I will be right back. Here's a snack. Here's a show. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
And you go in, collect yourself, maybe call a friend for 5 minutes, go outside. I'm better.
Let's try again.
You know what I mean?
I always tell parents, I, as a mom, realized my safest place in my house is my bathroom.
Literally.
Because it's a door with a lock.
Yes.
And I can say I need privacy.
Yep.
Nobody can disturb me right now.
Yep.
Everyone can respect that. And in there, I can cry. I can do what I need to do. I can just breathe. I can sit on the floor. Yeah. I can whatever
and
I need to.
And not all those times are that perfect. You know what I mean? There are times where I like lose my shit and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like the worst parent in the world. And it's like, I'm not alone.
No,
like,
you're human.
Like that is not like a, oh my God, I'm like, no, I'm, it's okay. It's normal. It is a normal experience.
Yeah.
Could I have done better? Absolutely. Will I try to do better moving forward? Absolutely. But like, it's okay that you had like a moment that wasn't perfect, because nobody's perfect and it's okay. You know what I mean? But like trying to navigate life in general, regardless, like whether even without a disability, is freaking hard, you know? And then like labeling, like adding in all of these other things, it's just like, how did I ever think, like, you know, when I had my corporate job, it was like, there's no way that they're going to continue like supporting my schedule. There's literally no way. I was only working 3.5 hours a day working in sales. And it's like, I'm literally doing the best that I can in the time that I have, but it's not enough. And I won't, like, I'm in the car for 4 hours every day. I'm a freaking Uber, taxi, whatever you want to call me, taking my kids to, like, not all therapy centers are created equal. So we go to one that is the best fit for my daughter, for our family. She's so supported. We feel so heavily supported. Everybody there is like wonderful. We adore them, like support them, like do everything that we can to like make them know like you are like, we appreciate you so, so much, you know? Mm-hmm. And like anybody that you are putting your trust in to care for your child should feel like they're part of your family. You know what I mean? Like you're literally giving your entire world, handing them off to somebody. And maybe that's not like, maybe other people have just like the luxury of being able to stay home and they don't have to worry about like finances and they don't have to worry about any of those other things. Right. And that's amazing. Like I wish that for everybody, but unfortunately that's not the reality for most families, especially in this economy. And like you have to work because a lot of states will help you pay for somebody else to care for your child, but they're not going to help you make ends meet financially for you to for you as the parent to be the caregiver for your child, which is like a whole systemic thing that like I hope changes in my lifetime. I don't know that it will, but
no one has ever expressed it that way to me. And as you just said that, I really felt like a visceral reaction in my body.
As you should. Yeah.
Because, you know, as somebody who provides services for families, it's not something that I've ever heard anyone say.
Yeah. And it's like, you don't have a lot of options. Like you leave that diagnostic center for us, it was a neurologist. We leave that center and they hand you like a piece of paper. We couldn't ask questions. The neurologist was like, nope, you can talk to the front. They will answer your questions.
And we're what?
Like, oh, that we had a, I cannot express to you the way that it was like probably one of the worst experiences of our life. Like we were just like, and I think as a disability family, like this is not a unique situation, unfortunately, where like you, so many different occasions, your child is basically like a lab rat. Like they go into, and it's even for speech and OT, like they go in and it's like, they're all deficit-based things. What can't your child do? They're behind here and here and here and all these areas they're behind. And it's like, why aren't we talking about the fact that I never knew about hyperlexia? My daughter's hyperlexic. She's two and she's reading words. Why aren't we talking about that? Maybe she can't play with her peers in a practical way, or she's not communicating in a practical way. She is communicating in a practical way for her. I just don't know what the heck she's saying. But now I understand the way that she communicates. So now you better believe that's going to be my new obsession. Gestalt language processing. Hello, I'm a speech therapist overnight watching videos like nonstop. You know what I mean? And it's like now the light bulbs are going off and it's like, I know how to support her now. Now, instead of asking her, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Do you want to go outside? Now we just give her, we model the language that she should be saying. I'm so thirsty. Can I have a drink? And I still get her all the things, but now we're just speaking in first person for everything at home. Mm-hmm. And now we're still like on the fence. We don't know. We have our youngest is in speech therapy. I suspected she was autistic. I honestly don't really know anymore. Her support needs would have been vastly different than our oldest, who has higher support needs. But still, low support needs don't mean no support needs. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so like she's in speech therapy. But we've recently experienced and like this whole like when you sit and like talk about all these things, it's like you're adding in like insurance, support from whether it's the state, the county, whatever. Like I lost my job. Ultimately, I lost my job. My company let me go. My benefits ended. I go on to my husband's benefits. Perfect world, right? It's no big deal. We just go right over. His insurance at his job covers one of her three therapies that she needs. So now we can self-pay for speech and OT, $70 a session. She has five sessions a week. My youngest has two sessions a week. We can't afford that. And that's not including the bills. People like, I think people associate like, oh, your child has a disability. Well, you're getting disability from the state. And it's like the state is nickeling and diming me, making sure that I make sure that I pay for all of my services. We don't get anything from the state. We get nothing. We are able to apply for different grants and scholarships if you're able to. Not everybody's able to because you don't qualify. But like you still have to, insurance doesn't cover 100% of services. You're still left over with that. And like I just paid something the other night that was almost $4,000 for 2 months of service. And it's like, so that's basically $2,000 a month, more or less. And now you're telling me that another $2,000 out of pocket I have to self-pay for because insurance is only in network for one of these services and not the other two. So now I have to, and now there's like a whole layer in it where it's like, am I going to be able to leave that insurance policy that we just got on? Because that was a life event. I lost my job. My husband's spouse lost her job. So now we're able to go on his insurance. Do we have to now wait until November for open enrollment? Do we get to just like, oops, sorry, we made a mistake. Can we just back out of this within 30 days and find a new plan that like covers all of her therapies? Like these are all like very real things that like, this is not just unique to me. This is everybody's experiencing this because there's no support. And the people that claim to be like supporting autism, like, am I happy that autism is being discussed, period? I guess a little, but the way that it's being discussed is just like disgusting disease. Like these kids can't do, they're never going to amount to anything. They can't do anything. They can't even talk. They're never going to be independent. And it's like, there are so many other things that happen in the day to day. There are challenges everywhere. You don't have to have a disabled child to experience a challenge in your lifetime. Like, you probably have a challenge at least once a day, and you don't even have to have kids, period. You know what I mean? Like, there are challenges every single day for your whole life. You're going to experience challenges. They're just different challenges when you have a child. And then there's even more different challenges when you have a child with a disability. And like, there's so much joy and so much beauty in all of it. You know, it's not just like we weren't plagued with autism and our family suffering endlessly. Like, there's so much beauty in it, and has taught me, like, where I used to just like rush in and out of the door. Like, now there's a snail on the floor that's crawling at a literal snail's pace. We're going to watch it until it gets to the grass, and it's like, okay, the snail's home. Let's go inside. You know what I mean? Like, okay. Or like rain dropping.
Which is beautiful.
It's beautiful. It doesn't always feel beautiful in the moment, because I'm like, let's go inside. I'm carrying a kid. I've got four backpacks on me. Let's go inside. But it's like, you know what? I'm not going to be doing anything else in this moment that's more important than like, my kids are super interested in this stupid snail. Let's just watch it. You know what I mean? And then like, as I'm sitting there and I'm watching like their joy, and like they're pointing at it, and it's like, we're talking about it, and it's like, oh my God. And look at the little trail it's leaving. And like, all, there's so many opportunities for communication.
I was just going to say, it is the best learning opportunity when your kids are fully engaged.
100%.
Like, I'm taking this
100%.
Moment.
100%. And it's just like, realizing what those moments are, where they're like, it's not your kid giving you a hard time or like making your life more difficult. It's just like, it's just life with kids. It just is what it is. Slow down. Pause. I need to remind myself to slow down constantly. My brain is always like a million miles per hour. And like, again, understanding why is like, oh my goodness. Like, what a, like, I wish I would have learned this a really long time ago about myself. You know what I mean? And just like having that understanding of the way that my brain works, that I'm like, I do have so much going on up here, but it's not like, it's, it just is the way that it is. And I can't really like help it. You know what I mean? And so trying to like work through things and like prioritize things has always been really difficult for me, because like one thing just derails, and that now is consuming me to like no end. And I am like, I'm crying. I'm like, just, it is just too, like, it's overwhelming me, you know? And so I'm really grateful. My husband is absolutely incredible, and just is like, understands fully the way that my brain works and how to live alongside somebody with ADHD. And he is like so supportive, so patient, so kind, like just all the things that you would hope for in a partner. Can't say enough great things about that guy. Like, he is my person, and it's just like having somebody who just gets you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then like, now it's like, okay, cool. Not every brain is created equal. Now we can support our kids, and now we can support ourselves. And you know, like, we made, I think it was, my youngest was born in 2024, and going into 2025, we both were like, okay, we are going to make a conscious effort to focus on our mental health and like do things for ourselves that pour into ourselves, so that we can be both the best parents, the best partners, and the best just like people that we can be. We started therapy. Like, and I had really bad postpartum depression. Like, we got my oldest autism diagnosis, and 3 weeks later I had a baby. And so it was just like, what the F is going on right now? You know what I mean? And it was like, we were in the hospital for a few days having the baby. And like, as soon as we got out, it was like, I don't want her to miss her therapy. It's like, we have to go to therapy, whatever. And people were like praising me for like, oh my God, look at you go, girl. Like, you just had a baby and you're just already back to it. And it's like, I don't want to do this. Like, I should be resting, but like, my daughter needs the support, and I don't know what else to do. I'm like, I don't want her to miss any of her support. So like, here I am. And like, my husband had to return to work because LOL at like paternity and maternity leave in the US, like it's a joke. And so like, he had to go back to work, and it just is like, okay, like here we are, and we're just navigating it. Like, what am I supposed to do? She has to do these things. Like, and I'm her mom. I have to get it to her. You know what I mean? And so I also have a newborn. We'll just figure it out, I guess. I don't know, you know? And so that was a lot, obviously. And navigating all of that, like, I just, my husband was like, I, as a man, cannot understand what you're going through. You have to talk to somebody who can fully understand everything that you're experiencing and like get the support that you need. And so I did that, and I got matched up with like an incredible therapist that I saw, like, we met every Tuesday, and it was like so much fun. And once I started the Sweet Spectrum, it became more of a like, this is feeling a little bit more like a chore. I'm doing a little better. But just like, I had never had anybody say to me, like, have you ever taken an ADHD assessment? Or like, have you ever looked into an ADHD assessment? And I was like, no, why? And she's like, well, because I think that you should, you know? And like, we just talked about all these things, and it was just that, I mean, like, blew my brain like wide open. It was like, oh my God, wait, this is all makes so much sense. Like, there's nothing wrong with me, but like, oh my God, now I understand why. And like, all these like habits and things that I used to do were just all these like dopamine seeking behaviors, but I never knew how to explain them. You know what I mean? And they weren't always like the best things I was doing, but like, I needed to have it again. I just needed to do it again. And it's just like that feeling you can get in other ways. It doesn't have to be in those ways, you know, like the not as great ways. You know what I mean? And just understanding dopamine and being like, okay, I don't have to do that. I could just eat something that makes me feel really good. Or I could just like read a book that makes me feel really good. Or I can go for a walk that makes me feel really good. Or I can like lift weights that makes me feel really good. You know what I mean? And just like
change your behavior outlets to meet the same function. 100%.
And so it's just like, I didn't know what all that was. And there was no understanding behind the behavior and behind like, it was really a habit. You know what I mean? And so it was just like, I didn't know why I needed this, but it was like, I need it all the time. And like, I'd never want this feeling to go away. And it's like, now I can still get that same feeling just in a different way that is like, it benefits me as a person. You know what I mean? And so like having that would have been nice to know. You know what I mean? Just would have been cool to know, like growing up, you know? But yeah, it truly like viewing yourself from that lens, like changed my life. You know what I mean? Like medication, not a bad thing. It's actually changed my life. You know, like and there's all different types of medication. And I wish that people wouldn't call them stimulants because they actually make me so much calmer. It turns my brain off. You know what I mean? It's like a stimulant. It's like, yeah, because you probably shouldn't be taking that. You know what I mean? Like, it's probably not meant for you. That's probably why you feel like you're
it stimulates stimulated. The brain. And
exactly. And so it's like brain, just to be able to just like, I could just, and you don't like, I personally take Vyvanse, and I've heard like from other people that take Adderall, they're like, you just feel when it's working and you feel when it's not. And I'm like, I have three little kids. I cannot experience that. Like I have a 4, 3 and a 2-year-old right now. Like there's no way that I can experience like my meds aren't working. Like absolutely not. Driving in the car.
You're not present with yourself enough to do that.
Literally. And like driving in the car and just feeling like, oh my God, my head is like so quiet. This is so nice. You know, or like, I'm not stressed and anxious right now that we're running 2 minutes late. It's not a big deal. It's going to be okay. You know what I mean? Like I'm pretty much late everywhere I need to go. And like not feeling the like racing, sweating. I need to speed. I need to get there. It's like, we're going to get there. We are going to get there. And if I speed the whole way, I'm going to save myself one whole minute on maps. You know what I mean? Like it's not the end of the world. It's going to be okay. Like it's not like if I do you know what, I have speed, I'm going to save 15. You're literally going to save 1 minute. It's not the end of the world. It's going to be okay. It's more important that you get there safely. But like that feeling of like, I can just think of one thing at a time and I'm not going to lose my train of thought. And if I get disrupted from like something that I'm doing, if I'm doing dishes and my kids need me for something, there was a point in time that I never found my way back to that. So everything in my house, I was like nonstop all day long. Everything was 5% started, 95% unfinished. And my husband would get home and he's like, how was your day? And I'm like, I haven't stopped all day. Like, and I'm like crying because I'm like, I've been doing it nonstop all day. The freaking dishes are not done. The laundry's not done. The floors are still a mess. The toys are still everywhere. Like, but I've been like, I haven't stopped all day. Like, what am I doing? Like, I don't understand what's going on. You know what I mean? And it was like, I got to the point where I was so overwhelmed that like, again, didn't know what this was, executive dysfunction. I'm just paralyzed. I'm like sitting on the couch. My heart is racing. I'm so anxious. I'm like sweating, looking at all the things around my house that I need to get done. And I like can't. I feel just start is so overwhelming, so overwhelming. And the only time it wasn't overwhelming was when my sister so graciously would come over and be like, you start there. I will start here. Don't stop. Keep moving. And I'm like, okay, let's go team. We've got this. And like body doubling. Who would have thought? Like, I didn't know what that was. You know what I mean? So it's like, if I had somebody with me, like a service human all the time, you know what I mean? It's like, that's what I need. Just to keep me in check, keep me in line and just like, keep me moving. That was the only way that I got anything done. And then when she wasn't there, because hello, she's a whole human being herself. She has a job. She has a life. She has her whole thing. I'm like, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. There's so many things. I don't even know how to prioritize my to-do list. Like what's going on? It just like, it was so overwhelming. And like understanding there's a name for all of these things. And it's just like your brain just works differently and it's okay. But now learning all that, now I'm like, I'm going to make my list. I always made lists, but the list didn't actually work. But now I know how to make a good list where I can prioritize things. I never used to be able to prioritize things. It would just be like, I don't know, I just left the bathroom and the bathroom needs to be cleaned. But like my sink is full of dishes. There's toys all over the floor. The kids' sheets need to be washed. Like there's always something to do.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that like they don't have to get done today. And there's other things that like should probably get done today. You know what I mean? And so like that might sound like silly for some people who are like, duh. Like it didn't make sense to me. Like truly, I was just like,
Lauren, I actually think so many more people will listen to you and think, oh my God, that's me. Or that was me. And I think that the beautiful thing that you've given yourself is an understanding, which gives you a framework to support yourself.
Yeah.
In the same way that understanding your child or your children gives you a framework to supporting them. And You were like, I didn't know that that was executive dysfunction. Yeah. Okay, how do I support executive dysfunction?
Yeah.
I have to organize and prioritize.
Yeah.
And that might mean making three different lists.
Yeah.
And then from that list,
check my list.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes taking that list and folding the paper and I'm only going to look at the first three, four, or five.
Yep.
And it's so interesting because I think about clients I've serviced over the years, right? And the way that they would experience writing a test.
Mm-hmm.
Being in a noisy classroom, being at a concert, thinking about my own kids, you know, and how different types of stimulation or experiences, depending on where your nervous system starts, depending on how your brain functions, will determine, it doesn't determine your intelligence. It doesn't determine your capacity, your potential, nothing. It determines how you're going to handle this moment.
Yep. In that time.
In this moment in time.
Absolutely.
This a specific moment.
Yep.
So if you came in to your house from a yoga class, you're regulated, you walk in, you see the dishes, you see that, your experience of that is so different than an alarm going off and a child crying and needing this and another 100%. Child needing this.
And you're like opening your eyeballs to start the day and like somebody's already calling for you and it's like, well, shit, this is not good. I don't love this for me. And like, that's another area I'm trying my best to like get better at. Before I started the Sweet Spectrum, I was like, so my whole life I was an athlete. I swam my whole life, put me through school. And in collegiate athletics, you have like your very last meet, tournament, whatever you have, and you're done. And it's like, what the hell do I do with all this time now? I was training for like 5 hours a day and going to class and now it's over. What the hell do I do with that time? And like, your body is so conditioned to like releasing stress and and all of those like endorphins that come from exercise, you don't have them anymore. And it's like, well, now what do I do? Because I need to have something that I'm interested in that like keeps my brain going. It's good. I'm not a person that does well without chaos. Like too much chaos, I'm overwhelmed. But I actually need like a decent amount of chaos to just like feel like myself. And so I started lifting weights. And then I started lifting weights to like be a power lifter. And it was so fun. And I loved what it was doing to my body. And I loved the way that I looked. And I loved all these things about it. But I was eating horribly. And that's what people are like, have you baked your whole life? And I'm like, no, I just love sweets. And like, that's where like, I can make a good freaking cookie. Okay. And that's just where like, literally that's where that whole idea came from. Because I'm like, I don't feel like I have, like, I'm not an event planner. I am not a, like, I don't, I'm trying to think of all these things. And I'm like, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And it's like, I feel like I don't really have a whole lot I could offer people that I could like financially like gain from. But I can make a really good cookie that I feel like people
might
enjoy.
You make a really good cookie.
So
you make several different good cookies.
I just went with that. And I was like, you know what? I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know if this is going to be successful, but I know that if I just do this and it's something that I'm interested in, it's going to go somewhere because I don't have another option. And I am obsessed with the idea and something will happen to it. And like, there's people you meet along the way that are kind of like, you know, kind of like, I don't know. Like the only really way to describe them is kind of just like a hater. And they're like, wow, you're doing that too. And it's like, you could too. If you just like, I don't know, had endless amounts of energy and brain capacity for something. I don't know, like my, like ADHD is not always a gift, but as an adult, I have learned there are numerous gifts that I have that other people do not have. Or
absolutely.
Like people have an idea, like the amount of people that are trying to start like at home bakeries right now is like, I don't know, 4 in 6. Like there's everybody's trying to do it. And then you realize that like, actually this is a lot of work, especially if you're doing it like the right way, the legal way that you're supposed to do it, where you're supposed to be like, I don't know, you're supposed to have an accountant for all of your taxes. You're supposed to have licensure. You're supposed to have insurance. You're supposed to like label all these things correctly. Like if you're not doing that, of course it's a lot easier, but like if you're doing it the right way, it's a lot of work. And then also I am the social media manager, responding to messages, responding to emails from people, like also branding myself, putting myself out there to be booked for future events, like just all these things I'm doing
myself.
You
got yourself also this beautiful cart that is gorgeous that now like expanded it. Like ice cream also, right?
Yes. And now it's like, I'm doing all of these things.
Events.
But it's like, nobody gave that to me. Nobody held my hand and said, okay, and this is what you do next. And then you got to do this. Like you meet people along the way that it's like, I love that idea. How did you learn that? Or where did you get that? Or what did you do that? Like vendors help each other, like business owners, period. Like you meet a business owner and you're like, I know everything you've had to do. For the most part, there's some people that are handed a lot of things, but for the most part, people that start from nothing and grow into something, it's like, I understand fully everything you've had to do to get yourself here because I'm doing the same thing and I'm trying to get to where you are. How did you do that?
Yeah.
Who did you use for this? What did you do for that? I love what you did here. How did you do, like just like a sponge. We're all just sponges learning from each other.
Yeah.
And understanding that, it's like the connections that you make are just like incredible. And like, you want to support small businesses because you know what it feels like to be a small business.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And but, what it takes to not only build a small business, yeah, but maintain a small business.
Maintain it and continue to grow it.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a whole lot of work that I truly had no idea. I did not know what I was getting myself into. Can I, like, I, this is an ADHD gift, like, if I have a brain fart and it's a crazy idea, I'm going to figure out a way to make it happen because it's not actually that crazy. I'll figure it out. You know what I mean? And I will figure it out all by myself. And I don't need anybody's help. And I will like find my way to get to where I need to be to like get that thing done or like figure that thing out or whatever. And it's a lot of work, but it's like, it's necessary. You know what I mean? If you want it to do something and you want to do more. And like, for me, this was like, it's fun. It totally is fun now. It's like my creative outlet, but it also at the end of the day is a business because I need the money for it for my family. You know what I mean? And like, I could not do any of this without my husband. He's cooking every single morsel of food that goes into any of our bodies. He's cooking. He does all the grocery shopping. He cleans. He does laundry. He does all these things and just continues to encourage me to focus on the sweet spectrum. Focus on the sweet spectrum. Any of my events, I was gone all weekend. Who's watching your kids when you're gone? My husband, because he's wonderful. Their father, they're having a great time. I don't have to leave a list of things for him to do when I'm gone. Don't forget to buy. I just leave. He also packed up the whole car for me. You know what I mean? Like, and I just leave. When I'm back, I'm back. I don't have to worry that the kids weren't fed. They weren't changed. They weren't like what, like they have everything that they need. And like, I think truly that's the only way that I've been able to do this, because if I didn't have that, like how the heck would I continue to do all these things? I have like an extra kid at home like or something. You know what I mean? Like it's my heart goes out to people that have to deal with that because truly it's a lot. And I
agree. Having a partner who's a real partner makes a world of a difference.
Yes.
I could speak to you forever. I think you are a very honest, grounded, and just very self-aware individual that so many people can connect to in all these different ways. Like I'm thinking of all the people that I know very well that I'm going to send this episode to because they will recognize themselves in you.
I love that.
In the most authentic, beautiful way that allows them to feel seen, heard, understood, and validated.
Yeah.
And I think that that's,
I love that.
That's so
like
important.
If I could do that for one person after this today, like that
I'll do
would
it for
be
many,
amazing,
for many, many,
you know?
Many.
And like truly, if like women like you and I, like I don't know, you know, if you maybe think you have an ADHD diagnosis, like women with ADHD are misdiagnosed their whole life with like OCD, with depression, with anxiety, with bipolar disorder. And it's like, maybe those are comorbidities, but the real umbrella with all of those little things trickling underneath is ADHD. And women are not diagnosed formally with ADHD until they're
later
adult
in
years,
life.
You know what I mean?
Especially when they hit adolescence, because adolescence is where shit really hits the fan
because of puberty, like
for
any
females
large
with ADHD.
Hormonal shifts, absolutely, 100%. And postpartum happens to be like the main one where a lot of women are diagnosed because like you can't hide behind anything anymore. Like your kid, when you have a kid, that like fully exposes like the rawest form of you and you can't hide it anymore.
I agree.
And you need support. You know what I mean? And so just like recognizing that and like going back to a diagnosis is not a bad thing.
Absolutely.
It's like
not
a beautiful thing that gives you like the label that actually makes your life a whole lot easier and helps people understand you. And you're able to like get any type of support that you need or like any accommodations in your workplace or in your life, like that you need and you grant yourself, that makes your life better and doesn't give you an advantage. It just gives you everybody the same opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, that is, we could talk about this.
Absolutely.
Like all day.
We'll probably have to have another episode. Before we go, do you have something you'd love the listeners to sit with, whether it be a question or a statement, for them to just sit with themselves and think about?
I think the only thing that I wish that somebody would have told me walking through the steps to getting a diagnosis that I've already said in this episode, but I feel like it's important to say again, your child does not change. Nothing about your child, everything about your child that you know and that you love and exactly as they are, all the interests that they have, all the clothes that they like to wear, the way that their hair is, like everything about them stays exactly the same. You as a person will change and it allows you the opportunity to get kind of a map, kind of. It's not a perfect destination, but a kind of a roadmap to understanding their brain and supporting them better and in turn supporting your family, like you, your family, your spouse, whoever you're supporting. And then it also gives extended family, aunts and uncles, grandparents, like just everybody gets like a better understanding of who your kid is. And they, it gives them the opportunity to like be more involved in the life, in their life, in the way that serves that child the best, you know? And like, I wish that somebody would have told me that, because I thought that my whole world was getting turned upside down, that she was going to be so different after. And it's like,
nothing changed.
Nothing changes about
except
her.
Except your own understanding, your own perception. And the way that
now,
you
the way
support.
You perceive the world completely changes. And now you will just be like a more, I was already like a kind person, an empathetic person, an inclusive person. Like all these things I already were characteristics that I already had. But the way that they like catapulted into freaking outer space, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you just walk through life and like you truly, like I walk through life, like somebody like sped past me this morning and was like going around people. And it's like, okay, like at one point in my life, I would have been like, okay, crazy, like jerk. Like, what are you doing? You're like, you're going to cause an accident. You know what I mean? And like, my first thought was like, they might be having a medical emergency and they need to get somewhere quickly. You know what I mean? And just like walking through life with like an empathetic and like patient mindset is will change the world. You know what I mean? Like all that and like putting that into your children, like pouring kindness and empathy and like love into your children. Literally, that is the way that the world changes, you know?
Amen.
And like, ugh,
I'm with you.
That is what I want to leave with, for sure.
Thank you so much, Lauren.
Thank
this
you for
was such
me.
A pleasure. Thank you.